I did shit myself entering the apartment today. Your lovely host was asleep on the couch and promptly had to look at me waddle in shame to my bathroom. If this makes it into the pod, now you know too much.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the podcast where we go absolutely cuckoo bananas over our favorite characters from Degrassi The Next Generation. I'm Keely Bell, and you can join me every week with a special guest to talk about how these characters did whatever it takes and how exactly they made it through.
Welcome back. This is Cuckoo Bananas exclamation point, a Degrassi colon, the Next Generation podcast. I am your host, Keely Bell, and I am joined for the first time in a while with, by?
For.
For.
Heretofore which.
Lots of prepositions.
Daniel Herman, everyone.
Woo, yay!
Insert applause.
Yeah, you've asked and we've delivered. We're back on our bullshit.
I need to know which you were speaking of. I'm sure someone has asked.
Yes, people have asked. People have said that they miss you. People have said that they miss character analysis episodes.
I've missed doing them.
Yeah, yeah. And I have too. They're just harder to gather up, especially like not exemplified today because the character we're doing is not a huge character. But boy, once we get to the Holly J's and the Claire's, and they're going to be pretty hefty to have to give plot analysis on.
Like,
that'll require some research.
And like, here's the deal. When we started this podcast, mm-hmm. when you started this podcast and I sat and watched you do it,
mm-hmm.
This was pretty fresh off of our rewatch.
Yes.
In 2020.
2020.
The year of our, not Lord, because it was a cursed year.
Yes.
2020.
Yes. And we've both lived several lives since.
Exactly. It's been 3 years since I've watched an episode of Degrassi from start to finish.
Yeah.
And I need everyone to understand that it's like I'm reborn.
Yeah, I understand that.
When you said Johnny DeMarco is next, I went, right, right.
Who?
That, you know, that fan favorite little shit. I don't remember this man, except for the fact that I thought that his hair was a wig.
Yes, yes. I understand that, because you never saw it without the hat for a long time. It looked attached to the hat.
Yeah, I thought it was one of those Party City extensions stapled to a ball cap.
Mm-hmm. Giving Bill and Ted. Not Bill and Ted.
Yes,
Wayne's World. I was thinking Wayne's World, but I said Bill and Ted.
Yeah.
Wayne's World. Giving Wayne's World.
Yes.
So before we actually get into the episode, let's give some life updates.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they don't know a lot.
So, gentle listener, we're reaching an end of an era.
Oh, they know that.
Yeah.
Yes. If you didn't listen to last week's recap episode, last week or the week before, Ezra and I did announce that he and I are moving in together.
And that means, dun dun dun, I'm moving out.
Yeah.
Which I know more of you care about. I will be moving in with my emotional support heterosexual.
Yes.
We met in college. He's potty trained now.
Oh, yes, good.
Yeah, uses the correct pronouns for everyone. He's doing very well.
He's great.
Yeah, trained him up for this moment.
Mm-hmm.
So he is excited to live with someone who cleans more than he does.
Good. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a low bar, mm-hmm. but I do in fact sail over it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm happy for him.
I'm you're happy for him, but not so much for me.
No. Yeah.
No. Yeah. I'm very excited. I've wanted to live with Michael. I wanted Michael to be in a space where he needs a roommate while you can live with someone whom you love and cherish.
Yes.
And I got my wish.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm in charge.
You've created this reality.
I'm in charge. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I'm so fucking sorry. I didn't mean for the rest of it to happen. And I take full responsibility for dropping the ball so often in my in-chargeness of the world. Yeah, but I'm managing a new restaurant now.
Yes.
New challenges, new delights, new mm-hmm. stories. I will not be mentioning the name of this restaurant.
It is a chain.
It's a chain restaurant. And it does not rhyme with Benny's.
Yeah, no, it does not rhyme with Benny's.
Nor does it rhyme with Lie Hop.
Nor does it. Oh, yeah, you're kind of, because I was going to go Billy's, but you're going like the actual, I almost said genre of restaurant. The actual like type of restaurant.
Genre isn't wrong.
It's not, but it
genre,
feels wrong.
Genre isn't wrong. I'm having a lovely time. Mm-hmm. We're facing a lovely bit of challenges. Yes. You thought my boss was crazy before. Mm-hmm. We got it upgrades. The wrong word. we've adopted a whole system of folks. A new cast of characters. The pilot I will get out of this.
Very beneficial.
Better be hilarious.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what am I doing this for? yeah. In my first like 6 weeks at this position, I've performed CPR, been attacked by a homeless person, fired an individual, mm-hmm. I don't know, had decided to get a stress tattoo.
Yeah.
So we're really going strong here, folks.
We are. We really, really are.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a wild year for all of us involved. it's been a wild year. We are reaching the end of an era, and I am sad about it, but I've gotten over it. I'm also on SSRIs now. They know this.
Yeah.
I'm also on SSRIs now, so maybe it's just that
I'm not
repressing it.
Like, I'm not over it. I'm still kind of very sad.
I'm also very sad, but I don't feel it anymore, which yeah. makes me think the Prozac is working.
I know the Prozac's working for you, babe. I'm yeah, so new mental health, new jobs, new roommates.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna get a bunch of needles in me next week. Mm-hmm. Super fun.
For the tattoo.
For the tattoo.
Not for drugs.
Not for drugs. Mm-hmm. Never. Sorry, I'm back. yeah, and now we're ready to talk about a lovely character that we all stan.
Yeah, yeah. So, so yeah, we are in such an awkward point in the show, which I also think is the reason why it's hard to keep up with the character analysis episodes. Because we're in such an awkward place where we're only dealing with characters who had two, maybe three season arcs. And it's really been this way since Jane. You know what I mean? Like, we went from Jane to, like, Leia to Blue and Bruce the Moose and Declan, who all only have two, maybe three season arcs. And so it's, like, hard to want to talk about these people, but we have to power through so then we can get to, like I said, the Holly J's, the Claire's, the Allie's. Allie's gonna be a rough one.
Allie, like, look.
And we're gonna talk about her a little bit today.
Miss Allie Bhandari is a controversial figure.
Yes, she is. Throughout, in this home.
in this home and throughout the known universe.
And Canada, all of Canada, a menace to Canada.
Like, and hater or lover, you can't deny she brought it.
She definitely changed the game.
Yeah.
We'll say that. But we are not here to talk about Allie. Only Allie. We're here to talk about her first love interest on the show.
We sure are.
Which would be Johnny DeMarco.
Jonathan DeMarcopoulos.
Yes. Related to Riley Stavros. They're both Greek.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So our favorite part of this podcast.
Yeah.
How would you sum up Johnny's arc in three sentences? Do you want me to go first or you?
You go first so that I can.
Okay. Spurned from the piss of JT York.
I'm so sorry. you said spurned and I thought you said spermed.
Spermed from the piss of JT. Spermed. Spurned from the piss of JT York was a young boy who was in the wrong place at the wrong time period. He then went on to continue to just be in the wrong place at the wrong time and have sex with a girl 4 years his junior and then send her nudes out, period. And then he had to separate from his codependent best friend and go to college, period.
Incredible.
Yeah. All right. There is, I didn't sum it up because there, he does do things after that, but.
Yeah. We open on a boy witnessing a murder. And I know what you're thinking. This is going to affect him more than anything else on the show. And the answer is you're dead fucking wrong, loser.
Yeah.
He does so much more about something far lower stakes. Semicolon. He ends up being kind of a jackass, but turns it around by the time he graduates. Mm-hmm. Period. And then by the end.
That was four sentences.
No.
Keep going.
Roll the tape back. It was a big run-on with a semicolon.
Okay.
By the end, due to the time period he was written, we felt he could be rehabilitated mm-hmm. and gave him a good boy ending.
Yes.
And I think that's pretty neat.
Yep.
Heart emoji. Which
this, okay, starting now, and I know Ezra does not listen to this podcast when he's not on it. I don't even think he listens when he is on it. But Ezra, you need to turn away.
Yeah.
Because this is going to reveal major spoilers. Can we, before we dive into Johnny,
yeah.
Because the listener, I've gotten a lot of feedback from the listener that they love hearing somebody experience Degrassi for the very first time.
It's a wonder.
It's so fun. And so I can talk to you about the things that Ezra doesn't know about
yeah.
and how I'm so excited for the listener to know.
Yeah.
Because we said you need to be there for the death of JT York.
I demand it. And, and now I won't be living with you most likely when you finally get to that episode, which yeah. means I'm going to need to carve out time in my schedule.
Yeah. It'll have to be a whole thing.
Because you're still two seasons away.
Two seasons
I'm
away.
I'm devastated.
Yeah, me too. I really, really, that's part of the other reason why we've been doing more recap episodes because I just want to get through them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm so excited for him to experience that. It's going to be so fucking funny. I'll be crying. He'll be shocked. And then I'll be laughing.
Yeah.
yes. So, yeah. We start on the series. We're in season seven. Six. We're in season six. And Johnny is part of the gang of guys, which, like, I say gang, I use the word gang loosely. So it is a common misconception that JT York was killed by gang violence. He was not.
He was just killed by boys in oversized pants.
Yeah. Boys running in a horde are not all a gang.
And you know what? LAPD, you can quote her on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the PD in Canada? Just all of Canada?
That's a great question.
The Montreal MPD?
The Quebec. Moose men.
Not the moose men.
The moose men.
The moose men. Oh, you know what? Mounties?
Mm-hmm.
Not all hordes of boys are gang members. And you need to shape up.
But yeah, JT was not killed by a gang. He was killed by a gang of boys, which is like a group of boys. Anyway. Yeah.
A murder of boys, if you will.
A murder of boys. Like geese, question mark? Crows.
Crows. Well, actually, they only murdered one boy.
Right.
But.
Right. So yeah, Johnny is a part of the boys that are from Lakehurst, and he gets into it with Spinner, and they all kind of get into it with each other. Like it's that kind of that, you know, I called it the battle over Mia, Helen of Troy situation, where Mia was dating Drake. His name was like Drake, not Drake Aubrey Graham, Drake.
Okay.
Drake, the guy that stabbed JT.
I I think his name was Drake.
I think it is. I think it was. But I don't remember if he was dating Mia. I think he was.
Because he's not the baby daddy of Mia.
No, that's Lucas.
He's just some and Lucas, brother of Jane. We've done this.
We've done this, yeah.
We've done this song and dance. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's Drake.
I think it's Drake. I think, yeah, she was dating Drake. And when Drake found out she's now dating JT, now that she's transferred to Degrassi, he's like, fuck this guy. And so then he and his friends... Johnny is a part of that group of boys, bully JT and Toby, and they get into it with Spinner, and it's a whole thing. And then we get to the notorious episode, Rock This Town, wherein JT is pissing at, or no.
No. See, here's the problem.
Yes. No. Oh, yes. Yes. Drake is pissing on JT's car.
Yeah.
Yes. 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 Oh, well, that changes my whole sentence.
Oh, yeah. We both misremembered that. Yeah. JT didn't piss on nobody.
No, JT didn't piss on anyone. He died in the piss of his enemies.
JT didn't piss on nobody. He died in the piss of his enemies.
So, yeah. Johnny's there when Drake pees on JT's car.
Johnny didn't pee.
Johnny
didn't pee, nor did he stab.
He pee?
I don't.
Somebody. I don't think.
No.
I think.
He didn't pee.
I think Johnny might have peed.
You think that JT, that James Tiberius York died in the piss of Johnny DeMarco?
Let's do some fact checking. One moment. It was Johnny.
He died in Johnny DeMarco's piss.
Wasn't Johnny just became so much more important?
Oh my God. The last thing that James Tiberius York felt was the warm piss of Johnny DeMarco.
Oh, well, then Johnny just became way more important, guys.
All right. We got to reset the tone for this. Johnny DeMarco pissed on a dead guy, period. From there, he brutally traumatized a first-generation Canadian.
Yes.
But by the end, he got redeemed. The end. That's my new three sentences.
I support that, and I couldn't have done it better myself. Yeah, okay. Yeah, guys, it's been 3 years since we last rewatched this, and I can't rewatch it now because I'm in the middle of season four with my boyfriend. Yeah. It's a whole thing. That is so funny that we now know that. Okay, yeah, so Johnny just got way more important. JT died in Johnny's piss. Wow. That's probably why the writers... bumped Johnny up to a season regular. They went, we can't let this guy go.
Nah.
Our biggest, our most heart drenching?
Heart drenching. That's something.
Our most heart wrenching moment of our show happened in his piss. We cannot
let him go.
We can't let him go. He has to be a series regular now.
That ginger child that actually stabbed him, we're letting him go.
We're letting him go.
Because we can't redeem that. But the guy that pissed on the corpse.
We can do that.
The little corpse pisser. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to keep him. We're going to keep him. He's going to do some great things on this show.
He's going to do some great things, like fuck someone in a van. Anyway, the next time that I think Johnny like has a sizable role, because like other than the Lakehurst-Degrassi feud,
yeah.
Well, once Lakehurst merges with Degrassi, then he and Bruce the Moose just kind of exist in the background of most episodes being menaces.
Yeah.
They just are there heckling people, being mean. It's nothing really to talk about.
Yeah, they're giving very much like Francis from Fairly Odd Parents,
yes,
or like the Kanker sisters.
Yes.
Like they're cartoonishly bad bullies.
Cartoonishly bad bullies. Like, honestly, they really give Ice and what's his name from Hocus Pocus.
Oh yeah,
we're recording this the day after Halloween.
yeah, and I believe that Bette Midler would turn them into soup.
Yeah, she would certainly string Johnny and Bruce the Moose up to her ceiling in cages.
And JT would have taken his shoes back, except instead of his shoes, it would be his life.
Yeah, Yeah, JT lit the black flame candle.
Well, he was a virgin.
No, he didn't die a virgin.
He didn't die a virgin.
No. And he died emotionally a virgin, I think.
This is an audio medium, so you can't see my face. But I need everyone to understand. Scorn.
Scorn. Yeah. Yeah.
The internet is for scorn.
So, yeah. They just kind of exist and are, like, generally menaces. Then, after the Lakehurst-Degrassi merger, you know, that important business transaction that they made.
It's honestly one of my favorite twists.
It really is. I think that's really, honestly, brilliant storytelling. Though it does give us that these awkward characters that only have really short arcs. That's like the one downside to the Lakehurst merger.
Yeah, because like we burned through Damien and Johnny and Blue and
Bruce. And
Bruce. Well, yeah. Bruce to me is really more of an attaché. Johnny is one of those that are just like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Even Jane. Like, even though Jane is like a wonderful character and we love her so much, her arc, short. Real short.
Real short. And but she is the main player in these arcs, whereas Johnny is more of an antagonist or like a side character.
Yeah. Yeah. So after the Lakehurst merger, Toby starts his podcast. We talked about this in the Toby episode, where he basically is like shitting on all of Lakehurst and all of and specifically Johnny DeMarco by name. And everyone tells Toby, like, dude, because this is after JT's death, obviously. Yeah. And so Toby's really angry about JT's death, and everyone's telling him, like, Toby, you need to let it go. And rather than ruin Johnny's reputation, which is already pretty bad, Toby decides to not put Lakehurst on blast in his podcast. So once again, Johnny is more of a tertiary character to somebody else's larger arc. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Toby wasn't even a series regular at this point. That's fucked up.
Yeah, truly, truly, the way they did him dirty.
I will never forgive them.
Because, like, look, not only did you demote him from being a series regular because his best friend died, mm-hmm. but now you won't even let him be a truther on his own podcast.
Yeah. Like, let him speak the truth.
Let him shit talk those Lakers kids. That's what I would have done.
Does Toby stop being a main character in season 6 or 7?
I think it was six.
I think it's 6. So he's been a guest star for 2 seasons now. Fucked up. That's fucked up. Anyway.
That's fucked up, mate.
He continues to just kind of be a menace. He's a bully at school, always picking on Toby. Even though Toby is like 2 years older than him, which is funny. I think only 1 year, but like that's still pretty funny.
Once a nerd, always a nerd.
Always a fucking nerd.
You're open to being bullied.
Yeah.
If we've learned anything from TikTok, is that nerds are in their 30s being bullied by 15-year-olds.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when Spinner gets diagnosed with cancer, Johnny is part of the people that Spinner just wants to fight because he's angry. So what I'm hearing is Johnny's kind of a punching bag. Even though he's doing a lot of punching, people want to take things out on him.
And you know what? I think that once you start pissing on dead people.
Yeah. Granted, JT wasn't dead when he pissed.
I think JD pissed himself after, though.
Their pisses were mixed.
Piss mix.
Piss mix.
Mary piss mix.
Is this what you all have been missing?
Yeah. They've hungered for me.
They have. They it's really have.
They've thirsted for my scintillating commentary and my scathing remarks. My witticism.
So then Johnny is really, like, I cannot stress enough how much of a like playing card he is in all of these plots, where whenever somebody at this point who is a series regular needs a plot, they are using Johnny to help them further that, because he also is the guy that Darcy makes out with on the roof when she's going through her thing.
He is certainly a pawn.
Yeah,
he is just a being passed around. He's the pass around party bottom for plot.
At the no.
The
continue your sentence, Daniel.
The no holes refuse. Come to Porgy. I'm sorry, I had to correct it.
The no holes come dump orgy is a different thing.
Where are you dumping the cum? If there were no holes, it has to be a hole. Otherwise, there's just cum everywhere. Anyway, back to this show about teenagers.
Right.
Back to this children's program.
Yes.
So Johnny DeMarco is essentially, he is being used for a lot of plots. And
yes.
And we've seen this before where like, we've seen pass around party bottoms at Degrassi before.
We have.
I.e. Marco. But actually, no, I'm making a point. Because in the early episodes, we used Marco as like kind of like, oh yeah, he's here.
Mm-hmm.
We clearly like this actor. We're just going to throw him in and see what sticks. Same thing with like, I feel like, oh God, what's his fucking name? Curly haired, was adopted.
Derek.
Yeah. He was there for a little bit. Like we have characters that are like, oh yeah, we need a boy.
Yeah.
Let's grab that. Show me the boy. Give me the boy.
Yeah.
So they just snatch him and just say, you be a problem right here for a little bit.
Yeah.
I understand that this is not, like, why does this concern you? I don't know. School's like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And so, like, when Darcy's going through a rebellious phase, they were like, who's a rebellious boy that we can get her involved with? I've got just the boy for you. He's got long blonde hair and a trucker hat.
He's 5'2".
And he's short. He's very short. And so Darcy, like, pulls him up onto the roof and makes out with him and is flirting with him throughout the episode, but also hates him. It's a thing.
But you know what? I understood it.
I understood it, too. Honestly, look, I'm talking shit about Johnny a little bit, but I was attracted to Johnny.
Oh,
I still am.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, look, I am a problem when it comes to the men that I have selected, especially in my youth.
Yeah.
And we really said, I was attracted to Jay, who was the homophobe.
Yeah.
I was attracted to Johnny, who was also a homophobe.
Also a homophobe.
And notice a pattern? attracted to Riley Elizabeth Stavros, the biggest homophobe of them all.
Honestly.
Hell, I even thought the Shep was a little bit daddy, and that...
Oh, the Shep was definitely daddy.
And that was a personal hell for me.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so... Don't trust me and my tastes. at least with the whites on this show. Mm-hmm. The whites are never right on this show. And we should all respect that.
Yeah. So he is used by Darcy in that way. And then he's also used in Darcy's plot. Though I guess this is more of a reverse of that. Darcy's plot is used for his character development. When she goes to that teen... I almost called it a retreat, but it's definitely the opposite of a retreat. The teen, like, boot camp in the woods.
Yeah.
And they're all around the fire sharing their, like, trauma. And Johnny's there, and he's sharing his trauma, his troubled teen trauma.
They give their testimonies, as the Christians would say.
This wasn't Christian.
but you know, even though it wasn't Christian, it was Christian.
Johnny is in the troubled teen group sharing his troubled teen trauma.
Troubled teen trauma.
And it happens to be the death of JT York. He's like, oh, my friend stabbed that guy and I was just right there. I just stood there. And I'm like, oh, development. Jonathan, love it.
And also circling back to a plot from a previous episode.
Yeah.
I love continuity.
Continuity, honestly. And so then season 8 comes and Johnny is now a series regular. There we go. Just stroked out for a second there. And this is when it becomes less cool to like Johnny.
Because it was so cool before.
Well, before, he wasn't portrayed as someone who we're supposed to like, really.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, ooh, he's just a hot bad boy. Like, I'm here for that. And then we come to the moment where Ali Bhandari, who is 14 and looks it.
Yeah, she is chipmunk baby faced. Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy because Mindy Shankar was 18.
Yeah.
She just looks so young.
and to give everyone credit, 18 is still very young.
Yes.
You can still have that baby fat well into your 20s.
Definitely.
And Melinda Shankar gives a stellar performance mm-hmm. as Miss Ali Bhandari.
She really does. And Ali, who is, we know her as, we've just met her in season 8. She is a freshman or grade 9, as they would say in Canada. And she is a baby, and she's best friends with Claire, or she becomes best friends with Claire because they didn't know each other before. But and she wants so badly to be popular and noticed and have a boy like her. She's very boy crazy. So, of course, the guy she sets her sights on is none other than senior grade 12 Jonathan DeMarco.
And Johnny DeMarco is like, sure.
Johnny's like, I mean, you're a bit nerdy. Like, that's the crazy thing about this plot. Like, granted, these were different times. Different times.
Mm-hmm.
Where back then, it wasn't... We as a society were not aware of the massive age difference between 18 and 14.
Well, I would pivot, or I would at least have a caveat of parents, at least the ones that were portrayed as responsible, would be mm-hmm. like, absolutely not. That person's 4 years older than you. What are you doing? But mm-hmm. society media is yes. like, we
romanticized it a lot.
We could shimmy shake it into place.
Yes. So media definitely romanticized those kinds of relationships. So it's not Johnny's fault. And I'm going to take that out of the equation for most of this episode. I'm going to try to. So that, we know that if this were made in 2023, that would be massively fucked up. And we don't want them together at all. But the way it was portrayed in 2008, it was simply, they made it seem super normal.
Yeah. It's one of those situations where, like, at least they're both students. You know what
yes,
I mean?
Yes, exactly. At least nobody here is a teacher.
Yeah. Yeah. Looking at you, Miss O.
And, like, the thing with Johnny and Allie's relationship that was, like, the hurdle was not their age so much as it was Ali was, like, nerdy and inexperienced, whereas Johnny was like a bad boy.
Yeah.
So it wasn't even like, they weren't like, ooh, she's 14 and she's trying to date a senior. Like it was like, oh, she's a nerdy little grade 9 and she's trying to go for a bad boy. And it's like, guys, there are bigger fish to fry here.
You know, he killed a guy.
You know, he pissed on a corpse.
You know, he invented piss mix.
Like their age difference is brought up, but it's not like a major barrier.
It's not the focal point. And
no.
And that's really what is concerning. And yeah. I remember it concerned me when I first watched it when I was a kid. I was like,
yeah.
How old is he?
Yeah. Yeah. When I was a kid, I was like, hot. Yeah. I was like, oh, this is cool. Hot. And so then he admits that he likes her too. And then they start secretly dating because he doesn't want to be seen dating a 9er. So there is a little bit of their age there.
And this is where, again, when you write it all down as a plot, it's like, this is a cry for help.
Because how did no one look at this on the paper and go, maybe this is fucked up?
Because this is predator behavior. and here's the problem. We're like, oh, no, I can't be seen dating a 9er. How embarrassing. That's something that a predator would say.
Yeah.
That in terms that a child would be like, oh, it's valid.
Yes.
He doesn't want to get made fun of by his friends.
Exactly.
As opposed to he doesn't want to get arrested.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. The fear was never, oh, she's too young for me. The fear was, oh, people are going to make fun of me for liking a girl who is that young. That's not the same thing.
Yeah.
So they start dating in secret. And this is where their relationship gets a little muddy in my brain. I don't remember exactly what comes first and what comes next. I do know that pretty early on, Allie is like, in order to be liked by his friends and to like fit in with his crowd so that he'll want to date me in public, I have to have sex with him. So she goes with him to the ravine, which is still a thing. And I love that. By season 8, the ravine still standing strong.
I still want to fuck in a ravine.
Me too. I want to be a teen and get invited to a party in the woods and then have sex in a van.
I feel like maybe that's an Ezra conversation. Ezra, can we role play in this
as
van
teens?
And drive me to a ravine? And he'll be like, no. And you'll be like, do you even love me? And he'll be like, yes, very much, but I'm not doing that because I don't want to fuck in a van in a ravine.
Yeah, yeah. And that's valid. That's valid. So, yeah, they are very on and off where Allie is like, she wants to go public and he doesn't want to go public. And so they like break up a couple times. But then comes the moment where Allie is like, in order to be liked by his friends and so that he'll want to date me and be seen with me in public, I have to put out. And so they go to the ravine and they start making out, and Bruce comes by and throws condoms on them like a fucking weirdo.
And I would argue at least he's advocating for safe sex.
Yeah. He does say no glove, no love.
Yeah.
And he throws condoms on their bodies. And then Johnny's like, don't listen to him. He's a dumbass. And then Allie looks at the condoms. I can picture this scene clear as day in my head.
Yeah.
I hate this scene. Because I remember she's in like her little puffer jacket.
Yeah.
And she like picks up the condoms and she looks at it. And then she looks back up at him and she's like, I mean, do you want to? And Johnny's like, I am a 17-year-old boy. Of course I want to.
Yeah.
But do you? A 14-year-old girl who is 5 foot nothing, do you want to? And she's like, yeah. And so then they go into the van. I wonder if it's the same van where Emma gave Jake.
I hope so.
Job.
I think the ravine has a van.
Yeah, that's just the van. It's nobody's van. It's the van.
The van doesn't work.
It just sits there.
The van is essentially a mobile home.
And so they go into the van and they do have sex. And afterward, Allie is like traumatized because obviously.
Look, no one dreams of their virginity being taken in the back of a van.
No.
And I just want to say, as someone who lost their virginity in the back of a truck at an aqueduct, mm-hmm. It can be magical. It can also kind of suck.
Yeah.
And oftentimes it's both.
Yeah.
And I wish that Allie got a little more magic and Same. a little less awful.
Allie does admit to him that she wasn't very comfortable with the sex. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know. You said you were ready. And she's like, yeah, I think I was wrong. And he's like, oh, yikes. But they then break up after that. Yeah. And unfortunately, we're going to cover a lot of this in Ships too. But like, that's most of Johnny's role in season 8 is just Allie's love interest. And so then they get back together again. They've broke, like, honestly, Sav and Anya were the on and off couple, but like Johnny and Allie felt like they've broken up and gotten together way more times.
The Bendaris are the will they won't they siblings.
They really are, which is wild because they did date in real life. So Johnny then tells Allie after they've broken up, they then come back together, and Johnny admits to her that he was a virgin too. That is a surprise tool that will help us later. So then Johnny's like, yeah, I was a virgin too. And Allie's like, wow. Okay, then. Well, we should be back together, but we shouldn't have sex. And he's like, you know what? Valid. Let's not do that. And so then they're back together. And then, so season 9 rolls around. And this is Johnny's. I'm starting to use this phrase a lot in the recap episodes. Johnny's entering his menace era. He was already a menace before, but just season 9 is his menace era. Because tell me why. The writers gave Allie and Johnny a couple who already have so little working for them and went, okay, we're going to give them a sweet moment after the sex thing happens. He agrees. He's a gentleman about not having sex anymore. And he admits that he was a virgin too. Wow. Beautiful. Season 9 rolls around. Let's redact all of that. Let's redact it. Yeah. He lied. Turns out he lied.
Ugh. What a schemer and a skank.
A schemer. He loves
fornicating in the woods.
No, I was going to say he loves robbery and fraud, like Joanne the Scammer.
He loves robbery and fraud. He loves pissing and telling lies.
So before we get to Johnny being outed as a liar, a schemer, and a fraud, Allie and Johnny are back together at the start of season 9, and they are, I think, secret again?
Yeah.
Or if not secret, just low key. And Allie is in a photography class, and she takes some adorable little pictures of Johnny in her room with her, like, stuffed animal.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at Shoot to Thrill.
Yes.
And it's he doesn't like the PDA. They know they're together.
Yes, but they are low key.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then she takes some cute little pictures of him in her bedroom with her stuffed animals, and he's being vulnerable and sweet. And that's a side of Johnny. And like, she likes the photos because it's a side of Johnny that he doesn't show to the world. So then Aaliyah Bhandari uses these photos in her, I think, photography project, her photography display or whatever.
He's the subject of her latest project.
He's her muse. And she, which means that these pictures of him in a vulnerable state are posted all over the school. And Johnny feels violated by this. Rightfully so. He has a reputation to uphold. He doesn't like PDA. So he tells Allie he didn't want those pictures shown to anyone but her. And mind you, this is the same episode where Allie has decided she's going to start sending him nudes. Now, this is...
We really crafted this in a way where it's like, I can't believe you've done this.
I can't believe you've done this.
Like, and in fact, like, I'm not saying that revenge porn is ever okay.
No.
I'm simply saying, stating the events in sequence... Wow, did we step right into this one?
Look, just the way this episode is formatted is so silly, because it's like, oh, I'm in a photography class, and then like also I'm going to start sending you nudes, which has nothing to do with my actual photography class. So it's like, it's just one of those situations that's like, oh, this is too convenient.
The theme in the writer's room, we said the theme of this episode is photograph. I said photocoughs. is photography.
Photography.
We're gonna do a fun photography class, but we're also gonna do titties.
Nudes. Yeah. So Johnny is mad that she showed the school those pictures. He pulls out his phone and says, oh, well, You showed everyone my vulnerable pictures. I'm going to show everyone yours. So then he presses a button and texts the nude of her to Bruce the Moose. And then Bruce is going into the classroom and he pulls out his phone and Snake is collecting phones. And Bruce looks at his phone and is like, wait, I have a text from Johnny. And he sees that it's a picture of Allie, and Snake takes the phone and then he sees the naked picture of Allie. So this is, at this point, Snake has seen 2 students at least nude.
One of which is his stepdaughter.
He's seen Emma's boobies, and now he's seen... He maybe saw Manny's boobs too. I don't know if he ever saw Manny's video.
And it's always without his consent.
Yeah, it's always without his consent. And then eventually he will see Eli naked.
Yeah.
So Snake is just...
Eli's little dangle.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, so Johnny did that to Snake. And so then Allie and Johnny are done for good after this. Thank fucking God. And she tells him, like, look. Also, I think it goes to show, or goes to show, I think I need to point out in this episode that he wasn't into PDA. But then when she started sending him nudes, he started getting into PDA. Like, he started being, like, showing her affection in public, which is fucked up.
Yeah, well, I think, like, and from what I recall, it was like, oh, she's going above and beyond the call of duty for me. I might mm-hmm. as well
yeah, that
do
makes
a
sense.
Little bit for her.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how I think a lot of boys trip up when it mm-hmm. comes to their relationships, where if girls feel compelled mm-hmm. to perform sexuality, then boys are like, oh, well, I guess if you're going to do that, I might as well give you yeah. the thing you were asking me for anyway yeah. as being decent.
It's and always so it, transactions.
And so it becomes this thing of like, I'll be a decent person for you in public
yeah.
as because you're giving me nudes.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, babe.
No, you should have been doing that before.
And like, you, there's a whole conversation to be had about what PDA means for different people. But that shouldn't be then changed because you get boobs.
Yeah. So then after shoot to thrill happens, Johnny and Allie start talking again because they can't stay away from each other, I suppose.
I can't quit you.
Like, for Allie, I get it. Like, I get why she's so attached to Johnny, because he was, one, her first sexual experience, two, older hot boy, et cetera, et cetera. Like, I get why she's so obsessed with him. I don't get why he's so obsessed with her, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, do you see anyone else paying him that kind of attention?
So true. That's true.
Like, and this is unfortunately a universal truth. There's a reason why boys like Johnny don't get attention from girls their yeah. age.
Yeah.
It's because a girl Johnny's age would look at him and go, hi, hello. Yeah. I think your hair might be a wig. Could yeah. you take the hat off? Could you take it off? Could you, sir, for the camera, can you explain to me why you think that sharing my nudes would be a good idea?
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, they all see that for him. And so they're like, nah, fam, we're good. Also, at Lakehurst, you were worse. You pissed on every single dead kid.
Yeah.
And yeah. And they knew that. Allie didn't know that.
So in this episode where Allie and Johnny are maybe talking again, Allie is like excited that they might be getting back together and stuff. But then Claire is like, no, you shouldn't be back together with him. He broke your heart and then sent your nudes to the whole school. Well, one person, Bruce the Moose. And Allie's like, yeah, but I love him.
But let me counter with this. He didn't send the nudes to the whole world, but he sent the nudes to his whole world. Bruce the Moose is his whole world.
You are 100% correct. We should discuss him and Bruce in ships.
Yes.
So then Allie is like not going to listen to Claire. And so she and Johnny are talking again. And when she thinks that Johnny's like, let's get back together, it is not that conversation at all. It is instead, and I know this line, it like the back of my hand, Johnny goes, I found something, like a wart or something on my
classic junk. Classic. You think he's trying to get back together? You think he's in love with you again?
Nope.
Actually, no.
He's telling you he has an STD. And you should get checked out. Which, okay. So seasons 8 and 9 are one school year. So I guess it does make sense. But it does feel like it's been a long time.
Yeah. And here's the thing. STDs in men are like, ooh, we pop up and they're mm-hmm. pretty instantaneous. And we can get them mostly checked out. And like, we're not impervious mm-hmm. to long-standing problems. Mm-hmm. But in women, it can just sort of linger
yeah.
and be... longer.
Yeah, yeah.
And so Jonathan knows that.
Yeah. And he knew that he needed to tell her that she should get checked out. So she does get checked out, luckily, and she doesn't have anything, but she does have a taste for revenge.
Yeah.
And so she enlists her friends to try and get revenge on Johnny for doing this to her. And so they, Allie and Claire send in their sluttiest friend. They send Jenna in.
They weaponized that Taylor Swift knockoff and said, listen here, bitch.
You're gonna do this. You like Allie? Allie's your friend? You're gonna go out there into the war zone and you're gonna flirt with a guy you're not attracted to make him admit that he has genital warts.
And like, here, I love that they use the girl who's not a girl's girl.
Yeah.
And they give her a girl's girl plot.
They do. They do. I found that funny. And like, the fact that Jenna and Allie are friends in the first place, like, we'll get to this in the Allie episode, but at this point in time, the fact that Jenna and Allie are friends is insane. Anyway.
It makes no fucking sense.
It makes zero sense. For Allie to be as loyal to Claire as she is, the fact that she's friends with Jenna right now is crazy. Anyway, they put a wire on Jenna and have her try and flirt with Johnny. And then they have the wire like talking to the school, like over the loudspeaker, so that they're trying to get him to admit that he has genital warts so that the whole school will know.
And like the fact that everyone involved wasn't expelled in the process for this.
Crazy.
We're trying to get you to admit that you have an STI to the whole school. Hey, ladies, in my office.
Please.
This is sensitive information.
Yeah.
We're going to call home, I think.
And so then, but it backfires on them because Jenna's like, oh, you don't want to have sex with me? Why not? And then Johnny's like, because I'm in love with your friend Allie, okay?
Devastating.
Oh my god.
I can't believe you've done this.
Oh my god. I remember when that first aired, I like gasped out loud. I loved it. I thought that was like, that's the part I think where I was able to throw aside any feelings I might have had about Johnny and Allie's relationship. And I went, okay, well now we've done one of these things. I kind of do like them.
Yeah. And like, here's the thing. Chemistry wise,
lovely. They have excellent chemistry.
They have great chemistry.
They're like, hot. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Like as a teenager watching this, I was like, oh yeah, this is, I get this. I understand what's going on here. I know what sex is.
Mm-hmm.
And they're having it.
They're having it.
And and so this was like, oh my gosh, what a moment.
Yeah.
And looking back, I'm like, this is horrifying. I can't believe this is happening to me.
Yeah.
And yet still, I remember watching it and going, damn it.
Yeah.
That was so sweet.
It really is. They did that good. They did that good. But then they don't get back together after this.
Which I love.
Yeah, I do like that too. Because it's like, he fucked up. He didn't deserve to get her back after that. And instead, he gets to focus on his other true love, Bruce the Moose.
Yeah.
Where they have a few cute little plot lines about what life is going to be like after they graduate, before the end of season 9. Johnny gets a haircut. That's fun.
His haircut makes him look like such a fucking Peter Pan.
Yeah. He's so short. Johnny and Bruce is like nervous about Johnny going to college because Johnny is somehow going to college.
Johnny has found a way to get to class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He somehow brought his grades up. He somehow got involved in anything and is somehow going to university. But yeah, he and Bruce, like, they have a whole thing. And Bruce is like, we talked about this in the Bruce episode. And it was more of a Bruce plot where Bruce had to, like, learn to let Johnny go, essentially. Yeah. And Johnny had to learn that he had to give Bruce, like, the benefit of the doubt. Or not give Bruce words of affirmation. Let him know how much he means to him, and that
tell your friends you love them before you go off to university.
Exactly. And I love that plot for them because it was so like, they are such a toxically masculine group, like a pair of boys, and to give a plot like that to your toxically masculine boys, I think that's a great idea. Because yeah, even Bruce the Moose has feelings. Johnny like, might not, but Bruce does.
Look, give a little smooch for the homies.
Yeah. And then we thought we were done with Johnny at this point. I certainly thought we were done with Johnny.
Well, you thought wrong, motherfuckers. He pisses on someone one last time. One last time.
One last time. One last time.
He pisses emotionally on Sav Bhandari.
Yeah, I guess he does piss emotionally. I was going to say he pissed emotionally on Ali in that episode. He pissed on both of the Bhandari siblings that episode.
Well, he gave them a dash of reality check, my dude.
Mm-hmm. So in season 10, Ali is in her menace era. Granted, Ali's menace era lasts longer than most.
Ali's menace era lasts from the moment she was born until the moment she fucking dies.
Yeah. Ali's menace era is pretty fucking long. But we're at the peak of it in this moment. She has run away from home. She has put on a wig, donned a new personality, and run away. And her family is distraught. They don't know where she's gone. They are worried fucking sick. Only to discover, they don't discover this. We, the audience, discover this, that she has been hiding out in Johnny's dorm. She ran away and had nowhere to go, but she knew that Johnny was at Toronto University, probably.
Yeah.
She knew that Johnny was at TU and went there. And because he's a good fucking person, he was like, I suppose, because he does still really care about her.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. That's the thing about Johnny and Ali is like, I don't want to like them, but I do. Granted, I like Ali's other ships way more.
Yeah.
But there is just something about Johnny and Ali that does make my heart do the thing. But yeah, he's been hiding her out because he wants her to be safe and also figure out that she needs to go home on her own.
Yeah.
He doesn't want her to have to get, like, Sav comes and talks to him and is like, hey, is Ali here by any chance? And Johnny's like, no.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, no.
I haven't spoken to Ali Bhandari in many a year.
And, like, I remember when this episode happened and the audience, the teens watching, they release Much Music, which is what Degrassi was airing on in season 10, would release screen caps, like high definition screen caps, before every episode.
Yes.
Which like a lot of shows do. So you can kind of get like a vibe on what the new episode is going to be about. And I remember they released the episode, the screen cap of Sav talking to Johnny at his dorm. And we were all like, oh my God, is Johnny back? What's going to happen? Is Ali with Johnny? Are they back together? What's going on? Is this going to get them back together? Is Johnny back for good? And obviously not. It was a 2-episode kind of throwaway thing. But it was just so exciting. Because we were like, oh my God, Johnny's back. And yeah, it was just to prove that he still cares about her. And wants what's best for her, but also is older than her and knows that, like,
he's had his brain develop a little more and he's like, yeah, you know what? This is inappropriate.
Well, not their relationship because, yeah, I mean, yes, he might realize that. He has a girlfriend now at college and Ali didn't know this when she first started staying with him. And so then she gets a little heartbroken when he finds out that when she finds out that he has a girlfriend. But, like, he is more just, like, has experienced the world a little bit more and is like, this isn't good for her. Running away isn't good for her. She needs to be back with her family. But he also is smart enough to know that if he told her that, she would run away from him too. And
exactly.
Then be in a worse position. So he's really smart about it. And he and his girlfriend, like, kind of work a way to get Ali to decide for herself that she needs to go home. And it was masterfully done and a wonderful send off for his character, in my opinion. Because at this point he is fully redeemed and like has put Ali behind him.
Yeah.
And I really like that. I really like that. And I wish more characters could come back for just a couple episodes, just as an update to see what they were doing.
Just to tie up all those loose ends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's Johnny DeMarco.
Yeah.
And I do like I love him a lot. I love everybody on this fucking show, you know?
With a few glaring exceptions.
Yes, Leia. But like, yeah, Johnny, I do have a big soft spot in my heart for.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like we already talked mostly about Johnny and Ali because that's what most of his plot lines were about.
Yeah.
So we don't really have to go through them in ships. But let's discuss Johnny and Bruce the Moose.
The sexual tension.
The sexual tension between.
The emotional immaturity.
Mm-hmm.
The boys are gonna boy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I, do you think they've explored each other's bodies?
I know they have.
Yeah.
I also know that Johnny would prefer never to speak of it again.
Yeah. Yeah. Bruce, however, will bring it up on any occasion. Which ship do you prefer? Johnny and Ali or Johnny and Bruce?
Johnny and Bruce, age appropriate.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. They are a little bit unrequited for my taste. Yeah. Bruce really loves him way more than Johnny loves him.
I think that, Bruce plays, Unbreak My Heart in the car in the rain.
Unbreak my heart.
When Johnny went off to TU without
Say
him.
You love me again.
I like the image of him just belting that out. Or he'll like do Celine Dion's I drove all night just to get to you when he drives the TU.
Okay,
I drove all night.
Bruce secretly being a power belter. That's I've headcanon.
Yeah.
I think Johnny and Ali could potentially like look, once we get to Ali's episode, like they'll know where I stand with Ali's ships, and it is that Ben Dallas forever. Ali and Dallas forever. However, if they don't make it, I think Johnny and Ali could potentially reconnect in their 30s.
Yeah.
Not their 20s, but definitely their 30s. After she's been like divorced from Dallas.
Yeah. When after Ali's been like, hey, so you know that one problematic guy that I dated in high school and married? As it turns out, if we go all the way back to the beginning of my high school career, did he share my nudes? Yes.
Yes.
But you know what? He's changed.
He's changed.
Have you seen
he would
the
never
haircut?
Do that today.
He doesn't even own a trucker hat anymore.
But yeah. When is a time that you were such a Johnny? Like, I guess personality-wise, he is stoic.
Yeah.
He is... not very emotionally involved
or available.
He cares a lot about reputation. That might be a good thing to draw off of.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I just mean his relatable character
I mean,
traits. I wasn't a shade at you.
Yeah. I think the way that I've been such a Johnny mm-hmm. is in my relationships, I often sometimes forget to be warm
mm-hmm.
in public. You mm-hmm. know, I do my best, but it's a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And while I don't share their nudes with my best friend out of spite,
mm-hmm.
I do feel that there's, you know, some growth that could be done there,
mm-hmm.
you know. And however, if my ex ever needed to, I don't know, crash at my apartment because they've run away from home, I would ask, why are you running away from home?
You're an adult.
You're 27. But okay, you can. I'd let them crash on my couch.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I wouldn't let your exes crash on our couch, though.
Thank you. I wouldn't either. The time that I was such a Johnny, honestly, I'm going to draw from Johnny and Bruce's thing at the end of season 9. Admitting to you that I want to move with when I want to live with Ezra, I was such a Johnny in that moment.
Yeah,
because I had to like really admit that we were at a point in our lives where we're in a fork in the road. I've got to go one way, you've got to go another, and it was hard, but I had to face it.
Yeah,
and I had to tell us it was going to be okay.
Yeah, and. It's something that, like, especially because I have wanted this. Mm-hmm. This is something that I wanted for you. And I'm like, when she's ready to do that thing, mm-hmm. I will be so supportive.
Yeah.
I'm letting her take her sweet ass time with that.
Yeah.
Because Lord knows, I don't want to live with anyone else besides you in terms of like order of magnitude.
Yeah.
You're so easy to live with for me. But it's like, yeah, we'll make time to see each other.
Yeah.
It'll be okay.
And honestly, the podcast will probably get easier to do then, because then we'll already have like friend date nights.
Yeah.
That we can just, because that's what I do with Ezra now, is like he and I do the pod when we have date night.
Exactly.
So it's like once that's reversed, it'll just be reversed.
It'll be, and then you'll have to be like, Ezra, are we supposed to do a recap? Yeah, I guess. Why not?
Well, he and I will both work from home, so we can do it anytime.
You're going to be so sick of each other.
I'm going to be so sick of him. I'm scared.
This luckily, is real. This is a test. This is a test. This is the true test. It's going to be like a WeWork situation. You're just two millennials on a laptop.
Uh-huh.
Just
bankrupt.
Bankrupt and stressing. And
yeah. But yeah, we did it.
We did it.
We did Johnny DeMarco.
We did it.
Just like Allie, we did Johnny DeMarco.
Mm-hmm. And just like Allie, we regret a little bit.
Yep. Yep. But unlike Allie, he didn't give us HPV. Oh, no, Allie also didn't get HPV. But yeah. So I guess the next one we do, which we're going to try and do more soon, especially this month.
Yeah.
Because Ezra's going to be out of town a lot. So we might have to stock up to be able to keep pumping out episodes.
I mean, we record these fresh and then deliver them to you immediately. There's no editing involved.
Yeah. But I guess the next one we would have to do, if I am not incorrect, might just be Shantae Black.
Shantae Black. This comes with some hot opinions.
It does.
Hot ass takes.
It does. I'm trying to think in my brain, but I'm pretty sure she's next. We're coming for you, Shantae.
We're coming for the writers specifically.
Yeah.
Because of all of the characters that were wronged in mm-hmm. this show, I do believe Shantae Black is
Number one
most offended.
Yeah, certainly. So I'm excited to talk about her. But until then, where can the people find you on social media?
I'm at Danny Boy Herman across platforms.
Excellent. Excellent. I am at OMG It's Key on Instagram and TikTok. Or you can follow the podcast at Cuckoo Bananas Podcast on Instagram, or you can email us at cuckoobananaspodcast@gmail.com. Yeah. Woo. No, more character analysis coming at you soon.
Hell yeah.
We're excited. All right. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.